With God, we are a majority. And on a day like today, it's good to say that, to remind ourselves that. So today I want to talk about how we can overcome a distorted view of God as a father. So none of us have a perfect understanding of God as our father. Our perspective on the father-child relationship can be the very cause of the problem that we may have. Often our thinking is distorted by the relationship with our earthly fathers, particularly if there had been relationships that have been painful, damaging, or difficult. When we've been hurt, abused, or neglected, we can think God is out to do the same. As Christians, we want to have a fuller comprehension of a perfect Heavenly Father and a relationship with Him as His children. We also need our thinking about God and ourselves to be true and accurate. Why would we want to believe something that's a lie? We want to believe what is true and accurate, especially about our Heavenly Father. When we're on the right track with our understanding, then our emotional responses to God, our Father, will be more positive. We will know we are beloved children, and overall, we will be spiritually healthier. So how do we get past negative thinking about our Heavenly Father and overcome the inaccurate way we think God feels about us? Well, it starts by looking to the Bible to help correct our mindset. Let's start with God the Father in the Old Testament. References to God as a father are not totally devoid in the Old Testament, but they are far and few between, or few and far. When God is referred to as Father, it is to the nation of Israel, and it's in the context of a creator. As in Deuteronomy 32:6, it reads, "Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and unwise people? Is He not your Father, your creator, who made you and formed you?" Israel is also called God's firstborn son in Jeremiah 31:9. "I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father and Ephraim is my firstborn son." Then if God speaks about Himself as Father to individuals, it's to specific people. For instance, 1 Chronicles 28:6. "Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts," God said to David, "for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." Moving from the Old Testament into the New, we see the introduction of God the Father is significantly more apparent, especially in the Gospels. So let's look at God the Father in the Gospels. Father is the predominant way Jesus refers to God. And of course, it's not surprising, considering Jesus is the Son of God. What is unique, says Robert Stein in the Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. That's a mouthful. But he says that "Is this God as Father was not just a way Jesus taught his disciples to address God. It was the way." Remember, I just heard that word. Jesus called God Abba, which implies intimacy in the relationship with God. We can pause a moment to think about what the instruction meant to the disciples and followers of Jesus, because it is likely they had never addressed God in this way before. Author N.T. Wright, in his book Simply Christian, says, by the time of Jesus, and perhaps for some centuries before, the people of Israel had known God by the special name YHWH, which we pronounce Yahweh. But they did not speak it out loud. Wright goes on to say that the name Yahweh, I am who I am, suggests God cannot be defined in terms of anything or anyone else. So they knew God as I am who I am. If we struggle in our understanding of God as our Father, then we can take comfort that this way of referring to God was just as foreign and radical to Jesus' disciples and the people of that time. And I really never thought about that like that, but they knew God as I am who I am, Yahweh. They didn't know him as Abba. Nevertheless, God the Father is taken up by the Apostle Paul in his letters as well. God the Father in the letters of Paul. It's not surprising that the Apostle Paul continued teaching of addressing God as our Father. 10 times, almost every book that he wrote, he starts by saying, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the relationship with God the Father is not just as creator, as in Deuteronomy 32:6, but through a connection with Jesus. This is how the early Christians understood their relationship with God the Father, just like we do today. So that's something we have in common with the early Christians. We call him Father, Abba. God the Father in our lives today. Through belief in Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, we've been adopted into God's families as his sons and daughters. Romans 8:15 tells us, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So as we think about this special relationship with God, we should remember our Heavenly Father is not human. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do so? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We just got through worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Yet because God is spirit, this can make him difficult to relate to. It is a natural tendency to turn to examples of human fathers for our comparison or our comprehension. This we know can trip us up. There is, however, one human we can look to, one who is fully man and fully God, and that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives us a true picture of our perfect Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John 14:9, anyone who sees me has seen the Father. And in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. So what we see in Jesus, we see in the Father. In his unity with God, Jesus reveals the Father to us. So if you're having a hard time relating to the Father, just look to Jesus. They are one. So if we focus on Jesus, we will know the love, compassion, and safekeeping of God our Father. Jesus has made known the character of God the Father through his life on earth, and particularly his words and actions towards people. So what can we learn from Jesus that helps us correct a distorted view of God our Father? Well, we need to look at what Jesus shows us about God our Father. First, Jesus gave dignity to people deprived of their worth. He healed the lepers so they could re-enter society in Matthew 17. He healed a woman hemorrhaging blood so she was no longer ritually unclean and could return to a normal life in Luke 8. Jesus restored a demon-possessed man to his right mind in Mark 5 and acquitted a woman caught in adultery in John 8. When your dignity has been taken away through verbal, emotional, or sexual abuse, then remember God your Father spends time with those humiliated and disgraced by their conditions, and He restores their self-respect. That's what you want self-respect to be restored? Look to Jesus. Look at how He treated people, how He spoke to people, how He loved people. Jesus showed overwhelming compassion to individuals He encountered and crowds who followed Him. He felt pity not only for their spiritual state, but their physical conditions too. Even when wanting solitude, Jesus continued to preach, heal, and drive out demons as the people clamored for Him. In Matthew 14, Mark 1, and Mark 6. When all you've known is an absent father, whether due to death, work, or divorce, and you question your Heavenly Father's care for you, then be reminded that God never turns you away when you need Him. And that's a Sila moment. We need to remind ourselves that He'll never turn us away. Jesus responded intimately to those who needed Him. He led a blind man by the hand away from the villagers before putting spit on the man's eyes and healing him. Mark 8. He shooed out the crowd to be alone with a girl and her family before taking her hand and bringing her back to life in Matthew 9. When or if your earthly father has shown you little or no affection or attention, remember your Heavenly Father does not keep you at arm's length. Jesus began His ministry announcing the good news and the time of God's favor in Luke 4. If your own father has been authoritarian or stern with you and you fear reprisals for disobedience, then remember you are living in the time of God's favor, when through faith in Jesus, you are given freedom. No one can take your freedom. Ultimately, Jesus showed God's love for us through His death. If you've never felt truly loved by your earthly father, remember how God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die for you because He loves you. Romans 8:39 says, "Nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our understanding of God our Father may be flawed, but when we look to Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can more fully know God as our good Father. We sang about that today, all the time. He is a good Father all the time. Matthew 7:11 in the Passion Version says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" I found this prayer, and I'm going to close with this. It's called the Father's Legacy. First, the Lord gives us the perfect example of fatherhood. He shows us how to love, how to forgive, how to discipline, how to encourage, how to listen, how to lead, how to help, and much more. He also filled the Bible with examples after example of men who give dads a biblical legacy of leadership. So being Father's Day, I felt led to give this Father's legacy prayer. It says, Father, thank you for loving me and claiming me as your own. Take my hand and show me how to walk in your footsteps. I can't do this without you, even though there are times when I try to do things in my own way and with my own strength. Thank you for setting the perfect example of fatherhood and for giving me a biblical legacy of leadership to follow as I learn to be the dad you called me to be. That goes for spiritual fathers. Lord, like David, I want to be a man after your own heart. Please help me plant that legacy in my family. Lord, like Joseph, I want to choose biblical integrity, even in difficult situations. Lord, like Moses, I want to show servant leadership and talk with you face to face. Lord, like Jonathan, I want to remain loyal to you and your righteousness. Lord, like Josiah, I want to be courageous to read your word to others. Lord, like Daniel, I want to be uncompromising in my commitment to you. Lord, like Joseph, I want to be self-sacrificing and put my family's needs first. Lord, like Jesus, I want to submit to your will. Please help me to plant that legacy in my family. And Father, when I stumble and fall, reach down and place my feet next to yours. Encourage me to keep going beside you as I lead my family to plant a legacy rooted in you. Amen. I just want to wish you a happy Father's Day, whether you are a spiritual father or a physical father. And I pray that this prayer resonates with you, that these are things that you can also agree upon and pray for yourself. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for today. I thank you that you are always a Father that we can always come to, that you always will listen, you will always hear us, you will always lead us and guide us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand how good of a Father you really are, that we would perfect our understanding of God as our Father. We just thank you and praise you now, Lord. We ask you to bless the rest of this day, wherever we go. In Jesus' name.